ideally we would keep this.
Okay, that's away. So, today is Tuesday, October 24th, 2017. My name is Kirby Fenwick and I'm joined today by Sarah Black. It is Black?
Yep.
We'll be discussing the first game of the inaugural AFLW season between Carlton and Collingwood, which was played on Friday, February 3rd, 2017. Thank you for being a part of this project.
No worries, thanks for having me.
Let's start with a little bit of background. Can you tell me what role football has played in your life?
Oh, starting with a big question. Footy has always, it's just always been part of my life. Like, when I was a little kid, I remember there pretty much always being footy on the TV, just in the background. My dad is a massive Richmond supporter, so I'm the oldest in my family, so naturally he was very keen to get me involved. So there's video footage of me running up to like a camera and going, yeah, go Tigers, when I was about 3 years old. So that's sort of pretty much been ingrained in me. I've always been a really avid reader, and my parents are really keen to get me reading newspapers from an early age. And it seemed like a natural thing to read the sport. So that's when I really became involved in football as a sport rather than just through the prism of Richmond. For a long time I've just been a fan, just been a big fan, watched a lot of games, watched, you know, some of the panel shows on TV. And then in the last few years I've been working as a journalist covering football, which has just been a dream job for me.
Absolutely. What is it about footy? What do you love so much?
That's a question I ask a lot of people. I don't like being asked it. It's a real team game. It's something I've grown up with. It's just, that's all a mess, I'm sorry. It's just become, it's a part of me, I guess. It's the atmosphere of watching games, whether that be at the ground, which is incredible, or even just home on TV. There's something about live sport that I really enjoy. I'm a very competitive person. I like to be invested in things. So even if it's a supposedly neutral match, I'll always find a side that I want to win. And then in the last year, I've actually taken up playing footy, which has been another step for me. I've grown up as a netballer, but, you know, at the age of 23, I decided to actually play. And that's been a lot of fun. It's really brought home to me how much of a team sport it is. To have that sort of support behind you, to know that you've got 25 girls who've got your back, no matter what, you know, even if you're a horrific player, you know, who can only kick 10 metres. I'm not pulling that example out of nowhere. I'm describing myself as a ineffective back pocket. That's just footy. It's just something, it doesn't matter where you're from in, I'll say Melbourne, because, you know, outside of Melbourne and Victoria, it's not necessarily, you know, the main sport. But you can pretty much talk to anyone about football. It's a real equaliser in our society.
You mentioned that you've started playing football. What role has women's football had in your life? Had you known much about it? Have you had much to do with women's football prior to the AFLW?
Not really. When I was in primary school, I remembered we had to sign up for inter-school sports, and I went straight to netball. I had my eye on, you know, cracking the A team. That was my goal. But there were two girls who signed up for footy. And I remember they called an assembly, and just with the grade five sixes, and got us together and said, look, this isn't our rule. This is the association rule, but girls can't play footy. And that would have been grade six. That would have been 2005. Like, that's not that long ago. That was just, girls just didn't play footy. That was the thing. It wasn't an acceptable thing, but it was something that people weren't prepared to put work behind, I think, to accommodate for. So I played a few random games in high school. I went to an all-girls school. So again, footy's not big on the agenda. We'd have a scratch match against another high school once a year. So I played a few games there. But it wasn't until the introduction of AFLW that it really became an option in my personal sphere to play footy. I know it was out there for other people, but for my little bubble, that was, yeah, it was the introduction of AFLW that made it a lot more accessible.
So can you tell me how you felt when the AFLW competition was announced in 2016?
I just felt really... It was excitement, but it was tempered excitement, because it wasn't... You know, I wasn't going to be... Well, at the time, I thought, yeah, I wasn't going to be involved or... but it was... Yeah, there was just a lot of positivity about it, and I thought that was a really good thing. It was... there was also an element of about time this is happening, because I started to do a bit of digging and I'm like, okay, yeah, this VFLW competition, you know, and other state competitions around the country have existed for a very long time. It's just something that we necessarily haven't been aware of. And just the way it's been embraced by the wider football community has just been really exciting, and also brought in a lot of untraditional football fans too, which is always a good thing.
Let's go to the lead up to that first game, Carlton playing Collingwood. Always going to be a big game. When did you decide to go to that game?
I didn't necessarily have a choice to go. I was rostered on very quickly to work at the match to cover it as a journalist. But, you know, there was no way. I think my editor asked as a joke, do you want to do it? Like, we both knew the answer was always going to be yes. Yeah, so very early on, I had that penciled in my diary, that first day in September, first day in February. That was going to be the match. When they said it was going to be at Olympic Park Oval, I was a little bit dubious. I was sort of going, I reckon they're going to get a bigger crowd than that. Went to the practice match between Collingwood and the Bulldogs on Australia Day. And that was a lovely atmosphere, people just laying out in the sun, everything. But I was looking around going, yeah, no, this is not going to work for a proper, fully-fledged match. When they moved it to Icon Park, on the flip side, I was almost like, oh, no, that's too big. We've gone way too, you know, the worst-case scenario would be if it was a half-full stadium and it looked really crappy on TV, and it would all be downhill from there. People wouldn't be interested in going. This was going to be the showpiece sort of thing. So for the whole atmosphere to be like it was just incredible.
Would you have been there even if you weren't rostered on? Would you have gone that night?
Yeah, I reckon I would have. If I'd... I'm not sure if I would have gotten in to the ground, but yeah, I was definitely going to go. I had multiple invites from different groups of friends going, hey, we're getting a group together, you want to come? And I'm like, oh, sorry, I'm actually working. So yeah, definitely would have gone. I think some of that's also to do with my age bracket and my friends. So, you know, I was 23, whole groups of different friends from uni. We were sort of like, not the target audience, but... It was seen as a really positive thing to do, to go out and support girls' footy. And, you know, some of that also coming from a girls' school background. Girls can play sport. That's just been a normal part of my life.
Why would you have wanted to be there? Separate the work element for a second. We'll come back to that. What was it that you felt so, that this is something that I need to be there for?
Well, it's a historic occasion. You know, like, it's exciting to tell people that I was there. That's number one. Number two, I love footy. So any excuse to go to a footy match for free is a bonus. I really like separating work. I think even as just a fan, I would have been soaking up all the articles about the different players and everything leading up to the start of the season. So I would have loved to actually see them in action. These girls I've been reading about all summer. I think the timing of it was great too. It's that real lull in the Melbourne sporting calendar. So Yeah, it was, you know, a lovely sunny afternoon. Why wouldn't you go want to go and watch a game of footy?
Exactly. What are your memories of that week leading up to the game? You mentioned the ground shifting, and that was a pretty big deal. What are your memories of that week?
It was fairly chaotic for me from a work perspective. We had the launch of the league, which was very bells and whistles. So they brought out all the players out onto, not all the players, they brought out each captain onto the stage, presented them to the, you know, the media and the who's who of football, you know, which I didn't love, but it was great that the girls were getting the time in the spotlight. We had an open media session where we could just go up to those same captains, have a chat to them, get their perspective on, you know, the pre-season just gone, what some of their expectations were for the season coming up. What else happened? I think there was just that growing presence of women's footy in the papers, in the newspapers, on the news even, which was just really exciting because it's not necessarily something we've ever really seen before. Like with the cricketing, coverage of cricket has grown, but there hasn't really been anything of women's footy outside of Daisy Pierce. And all of a sudden we had all these new names new names and players we had to familiarise ourselves with. So Steph Chiocci was getting a big run, especially with her parents being such massive Carlton supporters. People really jumped on that story, which I think, you know, makes sense. Carlton Collingwood, the big rivalry. Who else was... Katie Brennan was getting a lot of press. She'd injured her ankle in a pre-season match. So there was a little bit of, oh, is she going to be right sort of thing? But Bulldogs were playing that down, possibly to their detriment. I can't really think of anything else that springs to mind.
How did you get to the game that night? How did you get to the ground?
I worked all during the day in our office at Docklands, and then I caught a taxi with my boss from our office in Docklands to Princess Park. And it was a Friday evening. It was hot and the traffic was horrendous, absolutely horrendous. And whether that was because it was a Friday, at the time we thought, oh, Friday night, you know, we've just left at a really dodgy time. But in hindsight, I reckon a lot of it would have been traffic to Princess Park.
So what time did you get to Princess Park?
We got there we went to the pre-match function, so I'm not sure, approximately maybe like an hour and a half before the game started. I haven't been to many pre-match functions, but what I really noticed was the amount of young kids there. It was just held in Carlton's gym. They just put a massive curtain blocking off all the exercise equipment, and the other half of the room was full of dignitaries and all that, but there were just kids everywhere running around, like oversized jumpers. There were a lot of girls who were sort of sporting the double of fairy skirts and footy jumpers, which was amazing. Little five-year-olds running around. I remember Brendan Bolton's kids were going nuts. It just something to this little, he's got this little blonde boy who was just so excited to be there. There were some Carlton players there, male players. I remember seeing Jacob Wiedering's head just popping up around the curtain. Like, he's so tall. Just interested to see what it was all about. There were all the speeches and everything that you'd expect from a pre-match function. So Carlton president, Eddie Maguire wasn't there. I remember that. That was quite controversial at the time. So a pre-arranged work commitment, I think it was, something to do with boxing. So Elisa Camplin spoke as a member of the Collingwood board, which was a really nice touch from the Magpies, I thought, to have an elite sportswoman speak at such a historic match for, you know, female sports people. But I was also really keen to get into the press box and just set myself up and soak in the atmosphere from there, get away from all the corporate people I didn't know. Like, my boss was introducing me to all these people. Oh, hi, yeah. But, I just wanted to get on with the footy.
Let's briefly clear it up. Who do you work for?
So I work for AFL website. Yeah, afl.com.au.
So you get to the ground that night. You're walking up to Princess Park. What do you remember seeing or happening around the ground as you were walking towards it that night?
So we moved from the function to the press box, and there was just a lot of people around. I was quite surprised at the amount of people who were there. This was probably half an hour before the match. I expected there to be just a lot of people rocking up in the last 5 minutes or so. There's a lot of people in like denim shorts and thongs and singlets, like not football attire at all. And a lot of teenagers, like, you know, not footy mad teenagers, just like groups of friends who just decided to come to the footy and to see this event, because that's what it was. It was an event. It wasn't just a match. It was a really significant occasion. We had to walk up to the press box, which was at least 4 flights of stairs, very rickety stairs. It's like the old section of Princess Park. I remember walking, finally got up to the top, walking through, and the entrance room, half the roof had caved in, like the ceiling plaster had fallen in. And I was sort of thinking, like, you know, we're not in Kansas anymore. This isn't the MCG. This isn't Etihad. This is old school footy. It was stinking hot. It had been in the room had been in direct sunlight for a lot of the day. Eventually wound our way through, crossing, you know, there were all the radio booths, and everyone was just fanning themselves and just, you know, did not look comfortable, all the various radio presenters and things. And eventually walked into the room they had set aside for print and online media, and it was stinking hot. There was just sunlight beaming straight through. You could barely see anything. It's just one big bench and about 8 seats that were bolted to the ground. So if you wanted to move forward or wriggle around, you had no hope. This was old school media. And it was really exciting. It was something I'd never experienced before.
What were you thinking in those moments? You're walking out of this pre-game function. You're walking up to the press box. The crowd's pretty decent at that point. What's going through your mind in those moments?
Mainly, I hope I don't muck this up, to put it politely. I was more focused on myself, actually, like, and my own work. I'd been covering the women's league all summer. I was just really anxious for the game to start. I'd sort of half adopted Carlton as my team, because I'd interviewed Brianna Davey and Darcy Vessio separately at the launch of the entire league back in June, July, whenever it was, and really liked talking to those girls. And then they both ended up at Carlton. I'm like, oh, perfect, I don't have a team, so, you know, Carlton can be my team. So I was, you know, I was keen for the Blues to do well. So there's that little bit of personal investment in it as well. Once I finally got set, I was, you know, had my laptop plugging in all the power and everything, trying to get Wi-Fi to work. The internet was atrocious because so many people were trying to log on. We were using personal Wi-Fi. There wasn't a stadium Wi-Fi or anything. And so while I was busy with all of that, you'd look up every couple of minutes and a whole other bay would have been entirely filled in the space of, you know, 3 minutes. It was just incredible. Like, people were just sort of nudging each other along the bench going, look, it's full. That stand's full. We couldn't believe it, how quickly it filled up. It was sort of the last 10 minutes, it just exploded. So that really built up a lot of anticipation.
You're sitting in the press box, waiting for the game to start. What's going through your mind in those couple of moments before the game starts?
They did the national anthem, and initially it was, oh my God, I forgot to, why is everyone standing? Oh wait, no, this is the national anthem, I have to stand up. I remember that quite distinctly. And then the roar after the national anthem, which is something that's so unique to our sport, I think, that that real release of energy following a national anthem in a sporting context. It was so loud. It felt like there was about 80,000 people at the MCG, when in reality it was 25,000 at Princess Park. But everyone was so packed in that it had created this sort of amphitheatre atmosphere that it felt like something really special was about to happen.
Tell me about that atmosphere. How would you describe it that night?
It was a mix of what I assume is old school footy. I've grown up in the AFL era. I don't know what it's like to be at local grounds watching your team, like your professional team. So it was a mix of what I assume is old school and this weird new school, this new audience that this AFLW had attracted. So there was a lot of people who were very casual, very just, oh, we're just here having a laugh, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But then there was some real diehard Carlton and Collingwood supporters in the crowd. You could hear things from where we were sitting in the press box. You could hear just normal footy comments, especially in the opening few minutes. And that, I think, relaxed everyone. You could just hear that, oh, that wasn't a handball. Oh, well, that, she took her head off. What are you talking about? And there was a lot of, holding. That's holding the man. And then people, you could hear them, like, stopping themselves halfway through saying man and going, that's holding the... that's holding. Like, it was, people were still trying to sort of get their head around it, but it was still footy. And when Collingwood kicked that opening goal, it was just like Collingwood had kicked a goal. It wasn't Collingwood women's had kicked a goal or Jazzy Garner, a girl, had kicked a goal. It was Collingwood, and the Carlton fans were gutted. It was great.
When you sort of touched on it briefly, but the crowd that night, in your opinion, looking around at the people that you were seeing sitting in the stands, traditional footy crowd, or was there something different?
No, it was definitely a mix. I went out in the third quarter with the purpose of just, grabbing a few stories from the crowd. And there was, I spoke to a guy who said he'd been going to Princess Park for 40 years, rusted on Carlton fan. His name was Paolo. He couldn't be more stereotypical if he tried. And he was like, oh, this is the mosquito fleet of old, this is. That number two, she's dashing around everywhere. Oh, like, that number three, she's really nippy, blah, blah. So real footy fans like that. But then I could hear behind me people going, oh, wait, no, we need to get a selfie. We need to get a Snapchat here. Like, oh, can you send me that photo? Like it was a different breed. It was my generation. But my generation who don't follow football. It was, I've sort of said it, but it was seen as something to be at, and for some of these people to show that they've been at it, they had to evolve social media. You had to check in on Facebook, you had to post something on Instagram, you had to send out Snapchat videos. So that was really noticeable as well, especially as it was so crowded. The people were just piled on top of each other wherever they could find a perch. They weren't necessarily sitting. Some of them were just resting on, fence posts and, like, trying to take awkward selfies with a group of, seven people. It was different, but it was good different.
You said it was something that people wanted to be a part of. Why do you think that was? What was it about that first game and perhaps the AFLW in general that brought those people into footy?
I think it's a very equality conscious decision. It was sort of like, especially for people coming from a non-football background, they sort of think, well, why hasn't there been a women's league? They've got no preconceptions about what football should be or what football has been. It's just, this is the now. Okay, we've got a women's league. We need to support this if we want to see more of this in the future. So it was some of that. What else? Yeah, I think that's all I've got. Sorry.
That's totally fine. That was a big question. That's okay. What are your memories of the game?
The opening 5 minutes were absolutely insane. Like, the girls had been amped up for this for months. Like, ever since they got drafted back in October, pretty much. They, you know, they wanted to run out onto an AFL field. They wanted to play in an AFL match. And this was their first opportunity to do it. So, of course, they were going to crash in and just not beat the hell out of each other. But, you know, they were going to make every tackle stick. They were going to put as much pressure on as possible. They weren't going to let anyone run free. And so that's how the opening 5 minutes played out. Steph Chiocci got cleaned up about five times. And it was really obvious because she's got such a small frame that she'd go flying out. And she's tough as nails. So if she's getting thrown out of packs, you know that it's going to be a very physical encounter. There wasn't a lot of free play. I remember that. It was... because there was so much pressure, the skills were scrappy. The girls were nervous, fair enough. And that also had an impact on the skill. So you just sort of, you're waiting for the game to settle. It was like an AFL grand final. You know, those first 5 minutes are always absolutely insane. It was a similar thing here.
Any players that stood out for you that night?
In the night in a whole?
Yeah,
across the whole night. Of course, Darcy. She was just... Darcy Vessio was absolutely electric. She was agile. That goal she kicked in the goal square where she went up in a ruck contest. Like, you know, and Darcy's not tall, but she went up in the ruck contest, pulled it down and jammed it onto her boot. And you sort of thought, oh, we're dealing with a serious player here. Other players, Nat Exon, had seemingly come from nowhere. I'd pored over the team lists the whole of January, trying to familiarise myself with these players. And all I knew about Nat Exon was that she was a rookie. She had barely played any games of football at all, and she came from an athletics background. And her running ability was just incredible, especially in such a contested match early. She was really noticeable with just how quick she was and her sort of innate game sense, despite how inexperienced she is. Meg Hutchins really stood out as well. I'd heard a lot about Meg, that she was, you know, this stalwart of VFL women's footy. So to see her in action, she was just so steady down back. They were being absolutely bombarded in patches, the Magpies. And she had a really noticeable calming effect. She's got good hands, really long kick, which is incredibly beneficial in the women's match, in a women's game. So she was excellent. And Emma King as well. Just dominance in the ruck. Just the Collingwood midfield couldn't really capitalise on it.
What's going through your mind in those moments when you're sitting in the press box? You're watching the very first AFLW game take place in front of you. What are you thinking? What are you feeling in those moments?
Well, sitting in the press box, you sort of feel like you've got a real responsibility to record this match properly, especially such a historic match. Personally, I wanted to do just a really good job at capturing the atmosphere. We had two journalists there. So Ben was doing a match report and I was charged with doing just a colour piece, which I love to do. So I wanted to really capture the small details. So you'd take note of what the crowd were doing on particular occasions. So after Darcy Vessio had kicked about three goals, there was almost a chant going around, Darcy, Darcy. You know, so that was, it was like hearing Dusty, Dusty, but it's Darcy. Like, this is a new game and we've got a new hero. So that was something I really wanted to get across. Especially with AFLW, you're much more aware of a smaller community. The players are more likely to read what you've written just for the novelty factor. They've never had this sort of stuff written about them before. Their families as well. So you want to do a really good job and to do it justice. Sitting in the press box, he's sort of freaking out a little bit that, you know, you want to do a really good job to get by on a lot of adrenaline, but also to take the time to just enjoy the game of footy. That's really important as well.
And a momentous game of football.
Yep.
What are your memories of the after the game is finished? The final siren's gone, Carlton's won. What do you remember in those moments after the game?
After the game, the journalists had to cross over to the other side of the ground where there was going to be a quasi press conference. And do you think we could get to the other side of the ground? We had to go across the oval and there was just people everywhere. It was kick to kick gone, absolutely insane. There were little kids running everywhere and just a lot of people wanting to get out on the ground just to soak up the atmosphere. So I was attempting to charge a path across and I just hear this, "Sarah, Sarah." And I looked over and in my direct line of vision is my cousin screaming the other way. I had no idea my cousin was going to be at this match, you know, but out of the 25,000 people there, she's the one I pretty much run into crossing the ground. I remember that. We sort of hugged and ran around in a circle and did a lot of, you know, "Oh, this is amazing," blah, blah, blah. Like, we couldn't even speak coherently. We were just so caught up in the atmosphere. I remember looking around and seeing a girl in Carlton, full Carlton kit, the number 3 on her back, hair in a top knot, looking like just taking a photo of it all, so like it might have been a panorama sort of thing, sort of spinning around slowly. And at the time I was like, "Oh, that must be Darcy's sister, that's so cute." And you know, she's dressed up like Darcy, blah blah blah. And then in hindsight I now know that Darcy doesn't have a sister, meaning that was Darcy Vesio just standing on the ground by herself after kicking 4 goals in a match-winning performance, just soaking it up for her own benefit. So that was really sort of a really special little clip that's in my mind. And she spoke afterwards at the presser and I couldn't believe how calm she was after such a high intensity match, a lot of emotion involved, you know, before, during it, after, I'm sure, when they were singing the song in the middle of the ground. But she was just so steady and sort of said, "You know, yeah, once I kicked the first goal, I was right. It was all good." And I was just really impressed with her composure.
What are you doing in after the game? Are you like filing copy? Like what's the end of the game look like for you?
So after the game, I'd already sent off 3/4 of my colour piece to the subs desk. So I was basically just updating it, but because the internet connections were so poor due to the sheer number of people, Ben and I ended up sitting in the Carlton cafeteria frantically trying to finish off our copy. That was the best internet connection we could find. It was very unglamorous, but sort of it felt right. There was a real community feel to the match, so it felt right that should be where we finished up. We had one of our head photographers, Michael Wilson, was there finishing up all of his filing of his photos and everything, and he kept calling me over saying, "Oh, who's this girl? Who's this girl? Who's this girl?" So there's still a lot of unknown involved in that sort of space. And then once I'd filed my copy, I had to wait for my boss to finish up and another AFL employee, and then we were going to catch a taxi back to the office together because I'd left my car there. And they'd lost the Premiership Cup. They'd had the Premiership Cup there for the pre-match function and they couldn't find it. So I waited. There was no point me looking for it. I had no idea where it was. I'd been up in the press box for the majority of the match. For the whole match. So I just hung around Princess Park till like sort of the Carlton cafeteria area till about 11:30 that night. Ended up just kicking a footy back and forth with my boss, waiting for, there were other people looking for the cup, and they eventually found it. I've got no idea where it was, but someone had forgotten to pick it up after the function. Yes, that's a little tidbit for you.
Wow. I like want to laugh, but I shouldn't. Oh my goodness. So my next question is to ask you what it's like outside the ground as you're leaving, but it's dark and there's no one there.
It's completely dark. Yeah, there was no one there. You sort of got out back onto Royal Parade. We're trying to get a taxi, and it was just like any other regular Friday night. That was what it was like after the game for me.
You missed the hordes leaving the stadium.
Yeah, definitely. Well, a lot of that would have been when we were in the press conference and then filing the copy. Yeah, it's pretty rare that you'd leave with a crowd of people if you're rostered on to cover a match.
What's your favourite moment of that night? The moment that has really stayed with you?
I think it was, my favourite moment was Jazzy Garner's first goal. I'd spoken to Collingwood coach Wayne Siegman leading up to the whole season, and asked him about a few players, and one of them was Jazzy Garner. And he was really, really bullish about her. He said, "Oh, she's slid in the draft, but we are so happy to have her. Yes, she's got to work on her fitness, but she's the best pair of hands in the competition." And at the time, I was sort of like, "Oh yeah, that's just a coach backing their player to the hilt, you know." And Wayne's a very loyal coach. He will praise his players. So to actually see her take that mark, have the composure to calmly go back and slot the goal, and I think a set shot as well. There was something about a set shot that was something. It was almost like a full stop. We're here. Goal. Full stop.
It was a pretty special moment.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of trivia questions.
Definitely.
When you think about that night now, when you reflect on it, what does it mean to you personally, the first ever AFLW game? What does it mean?
I think I was really privileged to be there, and not only just be there, to be recording it for other people to read about. That's something that's really special to me, that I was able to do that, to provide a record of that match, like in a sense exactly what you're doing. It's something I will always remember. Like not necessarily, you know, I'm not going to remember the whole thing, but little snippets, like walking up those four flights of rickety, rusty stairs to the top of the press box, seeing Jazzy Garner kick that first goal, watching Sarah Hosking dive in, seeing that blonde flash of hair just bombing around everywhere. I think this is going to be a competition that's going to be around as long as the AFL is. This isn't going anywhere. So it's very special to have been to be able to say I was there and to experience it firsthand.
Why is it so special?
It's history, really. It's history in the making. Football has always been a part of my life. You know, as growing up, girls just never got the chance to play. So to be able to be a girl, be at the match, watching other girls play, it's really like, you know, it's corny, but it sort of feels like that, yeah, we can do anything sort of thing. Yeah, of course girls can play football. What a stupid thing to suggest otherwise.
What do you think it means more broadly for the wider community that we have a National Women's Football League?
For a football community or for a...
For both.
For a football community, it means, it's just going to grow the game, really. That's what, it's basic maths. If you've got a men's competition and a women's competition, it means that you're going to get more players to play. You're going to get more people involved. You're going to get these really blokey community football clubs, of which I've just sort of joined. There's going to be, you know, perceptions are going to have to change, and they are changing, and that's really exciting. Concessions will have to be made. You know, like the guys may have to turn over some of their toilets so we have more than two toilets for 30 girls at a community level. It's just basic equality.
That's important.
Oh, but it goes without saying it's important.
Why did you want to be a part of this documentary? Why did you get in touch?
I wanted to be part of this documentary because I feel it's important that a variety of voices are heard. This is something that affects more than just a small subset of football fans. So it's important that this project is the best it can be. So you can hear my perspective from the media side of it, but also, more importantly, from people who are there as fans. I reckon that's the most important part. Not my testimony. Mine's just there to provide a little bit of contrast. That's why I wanted to get involved. But, you know, the more people you have on board, the better it's going to be.
What are you looking forward to about next year, season two of AFLW?
Next year I'm looking forward to a higher standard of play, which I think we'll get. I think there are a lot of lessons learned out of the first season, whether that be about game plans, just basic how to manage a professional team in such a short training period that they have. I'm also just looking forward to seeing the narrative continue. I know that sounds really corny, but an example of that is I can't wait to see what Katie Brennan does at Full Fitness. You know, she came in with, you know, everyone, a lot of people knew who Katie Brennan was, but unfortunately she wasn't able to show that full potential. So to be able to see her bounce back from injury and lead the Bulldogs to a more successful season, like, I can't wait to see that. What else? Like, yeah, I just want to see more footy. That's all there is to it.
Is there anything else, any other moments or thoughts that you want to share that you think are worth recording?
I thought it was funny at one point, at halftime, I scrabbled down the stairs to find a toilet, and the nearest female toilets I could find were locked. I thought that was... That was funny in a way, because we're here for a women's match, but they'd locked the girls' toilets. So, still some way to go.
That's amazing.
Yep.
Thank you very much, sir.
No
Thank
worries.
Thank you for chatting with me and sharing your memories of that night.
No worries. It's great to relive.